way to start a new year by just singing You Never Let Go, right? So, you know, God was with us, with you, whether or not you felt him or you knew it. God was loving you in 2010, and he was watching you, and he was calling you to himself, and he's going to do the same thing in 2011. Regardless of your response to that, through all of creation, God is saying, I am here, and I want to be known by you. And he did that in 2010, whether you responded or not, and he's doing it again in 2011. He will never let go of us. His great love is always there for us. Now, we're going to start off 2011. I just want to look back briefly at 2010. We kind of played that game. It was silly. But just at the end of it, at Christmas, did everybody have a good Christmas for the most part? Yeah? We had a great Christmas in the Peniel house. We were, you know, all over the place. We were in Wichita Falls. We were here in Dallas for Christmas Eve. We were in Oklahoma, a little town called Bartlesville. Anybody been there? All right, a few people. That's where I grew up. And I just have a snapshot from my Christmas that I want to share with you. This is my favorite kind of moment. This is my youngest son, Cole, who's almost a year. And then this is my 91-year-old grandfather who just had back surgery and is just still kicking. And his wife, who's 93, had total knee replacement surgery in 2010 and was just up and about bustling around. And they're doing great. But Gramps, that's what we call him, because of his back surgery, is using a walker. And Cole thought it was his own personal jungle gym. And I just loved that picture. This is Christmas morning. We come out. We spend all this time buying gifts for our children. Santa spends a lot of time with his elves, putting them together and bringing them down and putting them out for our kids. And they come out, and they see all these toys. Cole got this really cool basketball goal / baseball tee / football goalpost with all these lights and bells and songs and balls and things to play with. And he looks at it for about 5 seconds, and then he goes back to his jungle gym. And we're like, Cole's favorite toy on Christmas was Grandpa's walker. And I just love that snapshot, though, that he's just finding joy in the simple things in life. And something we would be surprised by, he knows right where it's found. And I think sometimes joy in life is found in surprising places. But this was just my really fun kind of snapshot of Christmas. And I want to tell you a little bit more about my time in Bartlesville. All right, Bartlesville, Oklahoma, there's not much there, but it is the headquarters of Phillips 66 Petroleum. And there's some really cool, like, small-town things there. And I won't go into detail about too many of them, except for a little restaurant. And it is exactly what you would think of when you think of small-town diner restaurant. It's called Murphy's Steakhouse. And it's just a small diner. There's not very many seats. There's a lobby. And there's not a hostess that seats you. You go into the lobby, and you're in the honor system. When someone comes out, whoever's been there the longest, they get to go in and take their seat, and you just kind of sit there and wait and watch. And usually there's spots open at the bar, and you can go sit at the bar and order. So whenever we go to Bartlesville, which we only go, you know, once every 2 years or something, but whenever we go back to where I grew up, that is one stop. That's one place where we have to go. And you guys probably know that if you've traveled at all, you've gone on vacations, or if you're parents have family that live out of town, a lot of times when you go to another place, there's one spot where you have to go to eat. And in Bartlesville, and Andrew, you're probably the one that whooped. Where are you? Murphy's is the spot, right? And maybe Dink's Barbecue, but Murphy's is the spot if you go to Bartlesville where you have to go. So if any of you ever go, you forget the name of it, call me and I'll tell you. Because if you go to Bartlesville, that's the only thing I'm going to tell you is, hey, while you're there, you've got to go check out Murphy's Steakhouse. Because Murphy's Steakhouse has a lot of cool stuff about it, but my favorite thing, the most unique thing, is called the hot hamburger. And here's how they do it. They take a piece of white bread and put it in the middle of a plate. Then they take a hamburger patty and put it on top of that. Then they take really greasy French fries and cover both of those things. Then they take brown gravy and cover all of that. And it looks like this. And it's heaven. All right? And it's just mounded on your plate, gravy. And then I take orange French dressing, like salad dressing, and I put it all over that. And you just mix it all up. And so there's a hamburger patty and the bun and the bread and the French fries and the gravy. And you just feel awful when you get done eating that. I mean, there's a brick in your stomach. There's gravy coming out of your pores. And you feel sick for like 3 days, but it is delicious while you're eating it. And you've got to try it. It's one of those things where if you're in Bartlesville and you're with me and you haven't tried this, we go try it. It was the only time we left the house. The whole time we were there is we had to get out and go to Murphy's. And so if you go there, that's where I'm going to tell you to go. You've got to try it. And everybody has those things. You know, if I said, hey, I'm going to this restaurant for the first time, what should I get? A lot of you guys would be like, ooh, this is my favorite thing. You've got to get this. Or, oh, hey, we're going to this place on vacation. What should we do? Oh, I've been there before. You've got to try this. We're going skiing. Where should we go skiing? Oh, Breckenridge is my favorite place, or whatever it is. Hey, I just got a new iPhone. What app should I get? Oh, you got to get this game. We all kind of know that experience of saying, hey, this is the best. I know from experience. You've got to try this. And that's this morning's message. It's plain and simple. It's that I'm a 31-year-old man, and I've walked through life a lot longer than all of the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in this room. I've experienced 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I've experienced 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. I've experienced college. I've experienced being single, dating. I've experienced being engaged, being married. I've experienced having children. I have all these experiences. And I want to share with you kind of like a secret, place. Like this restaurant is like, hey, nobody really knows about this, but you've got to go here and do this. And this is kind of my secret to you to start off the new year is saying, hey, as you go into this new year, I've been down this road before you. I've been to this place. And let me just tell you what you've got to do in 2011. And so please, you know, just take this for what it's worth. Is an old guy trying to tell you, this is where I've found life, and I want you to find it too. And this isn't just my idea. The character David from the Bible, you might have heard the story of David and Goliath. There's a lot of other stories about David. But he wrote most of the book of Psalms, which is right in the middle of the Bible in the Old Testament. And this is a psalm of David. It's Psalm 16. And at the beginning of it, sometimes before the psalm starts, it has a little title. It's called A Miktam of David. And a lot of people don't know what that word miktam means. But Charles Spurgeon, who's called the Prince of Preachers, he was a big preacher back in the 1800s. And he's commented and preached more than almost anybody on the scriptures. He says the word miktam probably means, comes from a Hebrew word talking about hiding or being mysterious. And he calls this the Psalm of the Precious Secret. And this psalm contains kind of this secret where I'm like, hey, you've got to wrap your brain around this psalm, invest your heart in this psalm, and live it out. This is what you've got to try in 2011. And so here's what I want to do, is I want to show you the last verse of this psalm, and then we're going to walk through it. But Psalm 16:11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life." All right, you don't just tell me where the best restaurant is so that I can enjoy it for a little while, but you tell me the path to walk on for all my life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so this is David's secret, is that the path to life is a path. It's not a destination. It's not a place that you get to and you achieve it and it's all done. But it's walking on a path every day of your life. And that is a path that fills you with joy because you're in the presence of God. And it's eternal. It never ends at God's right hand. And so the secret, right, which is not that big a secret if you're sitting here at church, is, hey, guys, life is found in a near relationship with God. What a simple way to start off the new year. Life is found. Goodness is found. Joy is found. Eternal pleasure is found in a near relationship with God. Or to say it another way, there's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. And I want you to walk that road in 2011. It rhymes. Isn't that cool? Not that cool. There's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. And I want you to walk that road in 2011. All right? So I did that so you could remember it. Now here's the deal. This is what I've found to be true, guys. Is I've walked for 31 years. I've walked this road, I've looked down some other roads, I've tried some other paths, and I guarantee you, there's no better place. All right, I've lived in Bartlesville for 18 years, I tried every restaurant that little town has to offer, and there's no better place in Bartlesville to eat than Murphy's Steakhouse. And as your friend, I would tell you that if you were moving or visiting Bartlesville. And as you move through this life and walk through this life, I have got to tell you, there's no better place on this earth than being on this road that leads to heaven, that is a nearness with God. And I want you to walk that road in 2011. So I want everybody in here to pair up, okay? So everybody get a partner real quick. Everybody pair up, get your partner. If you can't find a partner, you could do three, it's fine. Everybody found your partner? Everybody. You got it? And I want you to say this to your partner. So I want everybody to get it. Say the rhyme, there's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. And I want you to walk that road in 2011. Say it to your partner, look him in the eye. Say it back and forth. Say it to each other. All right. Eyes back up here. You want 2011 to be a great year. All right? You want it to be a great year. There is no better thing you can do than walk on this road that leads to heaven. The scriptures say it a different way in a few other places. So I'm going to show you Proverbs 22:5, which says, "In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them." You just keep your eyes fixed on the Lord and you stay on His path and you don't stray to the left or the right, because in any other path of people that are not seeking God, there are snares and pitfalls. But those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Or in Matthew 7, it says it very clearly in verses 13 and 14. Jesus says these words, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the path that leads to life. And only a few will find it." And I want you, 200 people in this room, to be the few in 2011 who find this path that leads to life. There's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven, and I want you to walk on that road, on that path in 2011. All right? And so here's what I want to do, is take the rest of that Psalm 16, and I'm going to do this quickly, but I'm going to tell you five things that you can do to follow God in 2011. So I'm going to read two verses and then show you a thing you can do. Two more verses, something you can do. Two more. So you're going to get five applications, five things that you can do to walk the road that leads to heaven in 2011. All right? So let's read the whole psalm together, Psalm 16, all 11 verses, and then we'll break it down very quickly, and I'll give you those things. Everybody just look and on the screen. Don't read aloud, but follow along with me. Read silently to yourselves. Psalm 16, verse 1. "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup, and you make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me, and I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That's Psalm 16. Now let's break it down. Verses 1 and 2. Check it out. Everybody look at the screen. "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you're my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Leave that up on the screen. We all have need to take refuge. Life is hard. We're all going to get hurt. You're going to have friends that are going to tear you down. You're going to have teachers that are unfair to you. You're going to have parents that are fighting with each other and going through their own struggles. You're going to have brothers and sisters that are a headache. You're going to get hurt. You're not going to make the team. I mean, all through life, and specifically right now in 2011, you are going to face disappointment and heartache and guilt and shame and all these things. Where are you going to go to take refuge? Who is going to keep you safe? What is going to keep you safe? David says this, "You keep me safe, God, in you I take refuge." And then I say to the Lord, "You're my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I'm not going to run and take refuge and find comfort and help in anything else besides God." So here's the first thing you can do to walk the road that leads to heaven is you avoid the other paths. And they're paths that the world wants you to walk down and they look attractive. Acceptance, all right, popularity. When you need to take refuge and when life is hard and you have the hurt that we all have in life, being more popular is not going to help you. Like I told you earlier, I'm 31. I've been through junior high. I've been through high school. I've been through college, all that stuff. Let me just tell you, when I go back to my hometown, I don't see anybody I went to junior high with. I don't see anybody I went to high school with. I've got like 5 friends from high school. I actually saw one of them because I was driving down the road and he was taking the trash out. I stopped my car. I got out and gave him a hug. Said, "Man, it's good to see you. But we're only in town for 2 days. I'm spending all my time with my family and then I'm out." But those people in junior high and high school that mattered so much, those girls that I cared about how my hair looked and what I was wearing and what they thought of me and what they said to me and who I went to the dance with and all that stuff I spent so much time and energy on. I'm just telling you, 31-year-old guy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. And so this path of popularity, acceptance, affection is the word I put up there for dating and relationships, getting the girls to like me, all that stuff. It didn't matter, man. It was a waste of my life. Acquisition, material things. Guess what? No, none of you guys asked for an original Nintendo for Christmas this year. All right? Nobody asked for a Game Boy for Christmas. All right? That was the junk I was into when I was your age. Nobody said, "Hey, I want the Little Mermaid." Just not, you just don't like pursue those things. Material goods get old and they pass away. Yes, I know the Little Mermaid's very pretty. Maybe some of the guys asked for it. You know, amusement, all right? That's all the things, all the entertainment. Nobody watched all the movies that I watched over Christmas break when I was a kid because it gets old. Achievement. Let me just tell you, my 8th grade basketball team, I couldn't tell you the record that we had that year. I remember the coach, and he had a weird mustache. That was it. Right? It doesn't matter. Appearance. My appearance changed. Look at how handsome I am. Just kidding. All right? Avoid those paths, man. They are worthless paths. So David said, "In God, in you I take refuge. Life's hard. I'm not going to seek out acceptance, popularity, girlfriends, boyfriends, affection. I'm not going to seek out materialism or amusement and entertainment and media. I'm not going to try to do better in school or sports and achieve things or change my appearance, lose weight, gain weight, build muscle, get better clothes, whatever it is. No, I'm just going to take refuge in you, my God, my Lord." You want to walk the road that leads to heaven? Avoid those other paths. Here we go, verse 3 and 4. "I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom's all my delight." All right? The Christians, the other people that are following God and running after Him, taking refuge in Him. That's who I delight in. Those are my running buddies. But people who run after other gods, who chase acceptance, who chase affection and acquisition and achievement and appearance, they suffer more and more. I'm not going to pour out their blood or their libations of blood or chase their gods. So here's number 2. You ready? Walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. You want to walk down the right road? Walk down the road with other people that are on the same path, not people that are chasing other things. Who are your closest Christian friends at your school? You might not have any, but you know there's strong Christians at your school. You need to be friends with them. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." So you want to be friends with fools, you're going to suffer. Walk with the wise if you want to walk down the good road. Verses 5 and 6, "Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." I want to focus on that last word, inheritance. He's focused on where the road leads, which is a road that leads to heaven. Do you remember what you said to your partner? There's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. There is a delightful inheritance, so keep walking. That's number 3. Keep walking. Don't make yourself at home here on earth. Don't get too comfortable, my friends. This life is a highway. This is a country we are passing through on our way to a better destination. All right? If you want to go on vacation in Colorado to go skiing in the beautiful Rocky Mountains, you're not going to make yourself at home on the plains of West Texas or in those dirty hills of New Mexico, or if you cut through Oklahoma, you definitely don't want to make yourself at home there. All right? This life is like West Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico. It is the country we are passing through on our way to a better destination. So keep moving, people. Keep moving. Don't make yourself at home on this earth. You keep seeking God and you focus on the inheritance. We're wrapping up quick. Here we go. One reference for that is Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Just check it out real quick. Jesus says this, don't store up treasures on earth. They're going to be destroyed and stolen, but you store up treasures in heaven. All right, let's move on back to Psalm 16. Verse 7 says, I praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord with my right hand, with Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So if you're walking down this road, you've got to be led by the Lord's constant counsel. All right? The Lord counsels him even at night. The Lord instructs him. So the first thing you do is you avoid the other paths. Go ahead and put up the list. There you go. You walk with wise people. You keep moving. Don't make yourself comfortable and at home here on earth. It's not your home. Be led by the Lord's constant counsel. What website am I going to give you? Nope. Jointhejourney.com. It's a Bible reading plan. It gives you something to read every single day. Be led by the Lord's constant counsel. When you walk out there on the bar, the Bible reading plan for 2011, there's a piece of paper. You can take it home. You don't even have to go to the website. Be led by the Lord's constant counsel. And lastly, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body rests secure. You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor let your faithful ones see decay. Walk fearlessly, because this road does not end with death. All right? Psalm 16 just says this, hey, there is resurrection. All right? Our life does not end with death. There is life after this. One of my favorite verses to talk to my three-year-old Chapman about is when Jesus, we always look at his little Bible, and he loves to look at Jesus dying on the cross and raising again and going up to heaven, and he has all these questions. What's Jesus doing in heaven? What is Aunt Vigi doing in heaven, an aunt that we lost a couple years ago? And what I tell him is Jesus is up there preparing a place for you and me to go live. And Vigi is there with him. And we get to go be there someday. Jesus says, there are many rooms in my Father's house. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you that. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come back and get you. The road does not end with death. So walk that road fearlessly. All right? Let's wrap it up. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven, and I want you to walk that road in 2011. Put up the picture from Murphy's Steakhouse. There's no better restaurant in Bartlesville than Murphy's Steakhouse. All right? So if you go there, visit it. But that doesn't matter. There's no better way to live your life than pursuing God wholeheartedly. That matters. There's no better place than the road that leads to heaven. So walk that road in 2011. Let me pray and we'll get you out of here. Lord, I thank you so much for these students that come here faithfully every week to sing to you, to worship you, to fellowship and enjoy life with their friends, and then to hear your word taught. I pray for them as they begin to read their Bibles in 2011 that they would be led by your constant counsel and they would find out how good it is to walk this road that leads to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we got a